Good morning and welcome to Finance Pulse. Today is Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. I'm your host. And this morning, the action has already moved from the universals to the super regionals. Because while everyone was digesting JP Morgan's blowout yesterday, PNC and M&T Bank opened their books before the bell this morning, and the rest of the regional cohort follows through Friday. Let me start with where we are in the earnings cycle. Yesterday was the big bang. JP Morgan reported earnings per share of $6.14 against a consensus of $5.85 and revenue of $58 billion against expectations just above $50 billion. That is a blowout by almost any standard, and it has reset the sector baseline upward heading into this week's regional prints. Morgan Stanley reports today as well, giving us the wealth management and fee income read across that completes the universal picture. But here is why today matters differently. The Universal Bank beat was fueled heavily by trading revenue and capital markets fees, business lines that the super-regional cohort does not run at meaningful scale. What PNC, M&T, Citizens, Regions, Truist, and Fifth Third have to demonstrate this week is that the NIM resilience the universals just showed actually flows through to institutions where retail deposit pricing, shorter loan duration, and narrower funding bases make the math harder. PNC guided NII to rise approximately 3% sequentially in Q2, with the Zacks consensus pegging NII at around $4.1 billion. M&T consensus revenue sits at $2.46 billion. Those are the numbers to benchmark against the core commentary this morning. The single most consequential news story in the super-regional cohort is one that has not yet gotten enough airtime in the transformation conversation. Fifth Third's acquisition of Comerica for $10.9 billion. Friday's Fifth Third print is the first quarter where integration costs, duplicate systems, and consolidated reporting fully roll through the numbers. This is the live proof point this cycle for why finance transformation investment accelerates after a deal closes, not before. Chart of accounts harmonization, treasury pooling, unified planning cycles, those are 2 to 3 year journeys, and the finance function is carrying the full weight of that work right now. Watch the efficiency ratio and non-interest expense commentary on Friday's call. On the macro and rate environment, the picture crystallized further this week. The Fed held at 3.5 to 3.75% at its June meeting, and the next decision is July 28th and 29th, with no summary of economic projections, which means no dot plot. That makes Chair Warsh's congressional testimony this week the primary signal mechanism for the second half rate path. Warsh's framing has been explicit. He mentioned price stability 12 times in his first press conference as chair and told Congress that policymakers have no tolerance for persistently elevated inflation. The CME FedWatch tool is pricing approximately 25% odds of a 25 basis point hike at the July meeting. Futures markets are pricing the path rising toward roughly 3.8% by October and approaching 4% by year end. For bank CFOs, this is the planning complexity that does not go away. The higher for longer scenario is net positive for NIM on paper, but only if deposit repricing has stabilized. The earnings call deposit cost commentary this week is the single most important input to second half NII forecasting. Now on the capital and regulatory side, there is a number from JP Morgan's quarter that deserves more attention in the transformation conversation. Management is planning for a G-SIB surcharge of 5.2% by 2028, up from 4.5%, implying roughly $20 billion of incremental regulatory capital. A $20 billion capital rebuild is not just a capital story, it is a finance function rebuild story. Stress testing model recalibration, capital allocation repricing across business lines, PPNR forecasting under a higher buffer, and regulatory reporting uplift all run through the finance function simultaneously. The super regionals, not subject to the same surcharge, this is actually a competitive opportunity. The capital efficiency gap versus constrained universals is real and widening. On the AI side, the number I want to plant in your client conversations today comes from Gartner. Over 40% of agentic AI projects will be cancelled by end of 2027. Banks are spending heavily right now. BCG's AI Radar 2026 found that spending on AI is set to double as a share of revenue, and 94% of organizations plan to keep investing despite uncertain near-term returns. But nearly 90% of CEOs expect measurable ROI, while relatively few organizations can actually point to consistent results. That gap is the Gartner cancellation risk made concrete. The reason so many projects fail comes down to sequencing. Bain Finance Transformation 2026 put it precisely. Data foundation first, automation second, intelligence third. CFOs who invest in AI before fixing data quality get poor results. Those who sequence correctly get compounding returns. For banks, the buying pattern is shifting from broad GenAI licenses toward purpose-built agentic agents in controls, reconciliation, and regulatory reporting, exactly the domains where auditable ROI is demonstrable. Fiserv has launched AgentOS, an operating system for agentic AI in banking, and FIS, in partnership with Anthropic, has deployed a financial crimes AI agent with BMO and Amalgamated Bank among the first live institutions. The talent angle is the underappreciated constraint. A Gartner survey of CFOs earlier this year identified building AI talent within the finance function as their most pressing near-term challenge, not technology, not budget. As AI takes on analytical and transactional work, the controller who compiled variance reports now needs to validate AI-generated analyses and challenge underlying assumptions. That is a fundamentally different skill set, and almost no bank has fully built it yet. Let me close with three conversation hooks for your client meetings today. First, the GSIB surcharge and capital rebuild story. JP Morgan is engineering for $20 billion of incremental capital by 2028. Ask your client how the capital adequacy rebuild is changing the way the finance function allocates cost to business lines, and whether their stress testing infrastructure is built to reprice PPNR under a higher capital buffer. Second, use Fifth Third and Comerica as the M&A integration benchmark. Friday's print is the first fully visible integration quarter for the largest super-regional deal of the cycle. Ask your client what a post-close finance transformation roadmap looks like, specifically where data harmonization, planning system consolidation, and regulatory reporting integration create the biggest near-term risk and cost. Third, put the Gartner 40% cancellation rate in front of any client accelerating AI spend without a sequencing framework. The follow-up question is sharp. Is the bank building on a clean data foundation or deploying intelligence before automation is stable? That single question tends to expose where the real transformation work still needs to happen. That is Finance Pulse for Wednesday, July 15th. Super-regional earnings continue through Friday. Walsh testifies to Congress, and the July